And we're committed at Hidden Creek to identifying people's gifts, the gifts that the Spirit has given to them, and giving opportunities for them to develop those gifts. Do you remember what it was like when you first began to ride a bike? You knew that riding a bike was in your future, but it was pretty tough, right? And so you had training wheels, and then eventually, hopefully, you put a helmet on, and you're able to ride a bike well. As we discover our gifts, we go through a similar process where we start out in slow increments of using that gift, and over time, the Holy Spirit develops that gift within us. In fact, Paul, when he was writing to his good friend Timothy, he said, "Remember the gift that the Holy Spirit gave you and fan it into flame." One of the things that I appreciate about Hidden Creek is over the last few years, as our preaching team has been developed, we've seen different people with the gift of preaching and teaching fan that gift into flame. And so, Michael, we pray for you this morning, and we ask God to bless you. And could you do something just a little strange this morning? I know that you can. Could you blow Michael's direction as we fan into flame the gift that the Spirit has given to him?
Thank you for that prayer. The Bible being God's word, we greatly respect it. We trust that it is true. And so when it comes time to speak on the word of God on Sunday, we greatly rely on prayer that we would present it the way that would give honor to Jesus and our Holy Father, and that we would not inject any of our own opinions. And so I have myself, I am hoping that what I say to you this morning will bring honor to Jesus, and that as we talk about the last verse in the Lord's Prayer, that we'd come away with an appreciation for asking God for help in our temptation. And this is the third week where we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Gary, for preaching on the first part of that prayer 2 weeks ago, and Pastor Brad for preaching on this last week. The prayer is a very short example Jesus gave to his disciples. They came up to him in Luke 11. It's recorded. They came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray like way John does." And Jesus gave him a very short prayer. This is a very short example. And of all the things that Jesus could have put in that prayer, the set of things he did include is short enough that any of us can learn from them. We can apply them to our own prayers as we pray to God. So today, let's look at the last portion of that prayer, and I want to read out of Matthew chapter 6. So you can turn to Matthew 6, but before we actually read it, I want to... Because we're doing a sermon series on prayer, I thought it would be appropriate for us to pray together during the sermon and to use some of the Psalms as our prayer. Rather than me saying a prayer over you, we'll read the Psalms together and we'll make the words of the Psalm our prayer to God. So if you have a bookmark or a little piece of paper, find Psalms and just put it in there. That way, when I come to the psalm, I'll tell you which one. If you want to read along with me, you can quickly flip to that psalm, and we'll read and pray together. Or if you prefer, you can just listen and make the words from the Bible your prayer to God. And I will do the same. I brought a few bookmarks with me. So I hope you are in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We'll be looking at that last line there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Did you know that we have thanks to Jesus not just for telling us about this prayer and telling us how to pray? We can thank Jesus for being able to pray this way at all, for having such direct access to the Father through prayer. Prior to Jesus fulfilling his mission and becoming God's sacrifice for us, he led a perfect life himself. I want to read you a section from Hebrews 4, and this is the very same section that Pastor Tim read to us as part of his sermon a few weeks ago. In your church Bibles, if you're using one, turn to page 840, but we'll go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. I wanted to show you that we can pray for temptation, and God the Father will listen to us faithfully, precisely because Jesus first overcame temptation himself. Starting in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus led the perfect life, overcoming sin and temptation at every turn, and he did this so he could become a sacrifice for our sins, all the ways in which we lack. And he's now in heaven with God, and he's claimed us for himself. And you might be wondering, did Jesus really experience the same temptations I do? And he didn't have a sin nature like we do, yet he experienced all kinds of temptations we do every day. Sometimes we don't think about them as temptations, but not all temptations are those where you're thinking about doing something that is directly sinful, right? Jesus went through all the temptations we do in daily life, but he never hated anybody. He also went through temptations we'll never experience. For example, his last week, when he made his triumphal entry, and everybody said, "Hosanna, Hosanna," they were so excited that he was being revealed as the Messiah, but he knows that they were also hoping that he would be saving them from the Romans' political rule. And this is while he's going in, and they're saying, "Save us, save us." Surely that was a temptation, though he was laser-eyed on his mission, of course. And when he was on the cross, and people mocked him and said, "Come down, if you're the Son of God, come down." And he could have. But he stayed on that cross because he was thinking about us today. He wanted us to be able to pray to God, to have assurance that we will be with him in heaven. And so it's for that reason that we can say to God, "God, please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So we pray through his prayer, and we do so in Jesus' name. Do you ever say, "In Jesus' name, amen," right? No one comes to the Father but through me. That's what Jesus said in John 14. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's not forget about temptation when we pray. That's kind of easy to forget for me. But we shouldn't forget about praying for temptation. It's right here in the Lord's Prayer. There will be times and situations where we will be unfaithful to God because we're not like Jesus. We're not reliable like Jesus all the time. We're fallen, and that's no secret. God knows that. And so he gives us this remedy. And we're invited to pray about it every time. Now, I said we'd be praying through a few psalms, and this is one of those times. The psalm we'll be covering, we'll be praying over, is the same psalm that we used just a few minutes ago. And thank you, Brad, for reading us that psalm and praying over it. I'll read this slowly. You can follow along in your Bible. As you're hearing the words, make the words your own to God. Starting in verse 4. Heavenly Father, you have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not forsake me utterly. And the good news is, God will not forsake us utterly. God's sacrifice on the cross covers all of our sins, and God is always ready to forgive. God knows that we struggle with temptations in this life. And even in all of our temptations, even the temptations that lead to sin, God yet has compassion on us. Even when we rebel against him, you know, that's wrong, but we're covered by Jesus' blood, and he has compassion in our struggles. The last line of the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right? Do you feel any condemnation in that verse? I don't. I only feel compassion from God. He's inviting us to pray in this way. He knows our condition. He knows that temptation is hard for us to overcome. But he wants us to overcome. He really does. And so he offers for us to call on the Father for his help. There's a great example of this, and it's in Genesis chapter 4. That's the first book of the Bible, and it's the story of Cain and Abel. Now, in the story, it's the story where Cain, he killed his brother Abel. But we won't focus on the details of the story, why Cain did what he did. Let's instead just look at what God came and said to Cain before the murder. And it's not said to us whether Cain had even decided what he was going to do at that time. Yet what we have here sounds very similar to what we see in the Lord's Prayer. Genesis 4, verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Do you hear that similarity between what we just read and the Lord's Prayer? Lord, lead us not into temptation, but please deliver us from the evil one. Just as Cain was warned about sin, so are we. Sin is crouching at our door, desiring to have us. And like Cain, we must master it for our own sake and for the sake of God and his will being done in our lives. And there are earthly consequences when we fall into sin, aren't there? In Cain's case, he was expelled into the wilderness. But even in Cain's punishment, even in the consequence of what Cain did, there was compassion from God. Didn't God mark Cain? And we don't know what that means. But didn't God mark Cain so that nobody would take revenge on him? And speaking of the murder Cain committed, let's not look at that murder and say, I'd never do that. This story is not applicable to me. In fact, let's not look at anybody who sins, at anything that happens, and feel overly secure and say, I could never do that. That's below me. The fact is, sin is crouching at our door. And given the right circumstances, we could fall into the same trap or a different one. It's more targeted to our own weaknesses. And we all have our own weaknesses. So instead of feeling overly secure, instead of condemning anybody, let's be compassionate to each other just as God is to us. Let's warn people if we're in a relationship with somebody that's close enough that we can confront them. Let's lovingly warn people when we see them making unwise choices. Let's do it in private, just to help them, not to harm them. And also, when we see somebody fall into temptation, let's recognize that we could also do the same. And let's show them compassion and be quick to forgive when they see that they've done wrong. Let's pray over Psalm 141, 3 through 5. This psalm asks God for strength in our temptation and wisdom so that we would graciously receive correction from somebody if that were to happen. Set a guard over my house, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil, to take part in wicked deeds with men who are evildoers. Let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It's a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It's oil on my head. My head will not refuse it. Cain received a warning directly from God, and he ignored it. And sometimes we do that too. We hear our warnings from the Bible, from our family and friends, and we make our own decisions. Though we pray for help in temptation, God does not take away our free will. We still have to willingly do as God requires for our lives. In Romans 7, Paul's talking about this tension we have, and he says, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight to do God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. So don't feel too discouraged. If you're struggling with sin, with temptation, don't wonder whether you've lost your salvation. We all have this struggle in our bodies. And the remedy for that is prayer. We need to pray to God. We need to ask him for the desire to do his will sometimes. Sin clouds our view of the majesty of God. We don't fully appreciate what he's done for us. We don't fully agree that our lives are his. There's a war within us between our spirit, which is saved by God and for God, and our fallen bodies. And I can say this for myself. When I fall into temptation, it's oftentimes not because the temptation was so great, it's because my own resolve was so weak. So the solution for that is to make God real in our everyday lives. When our flesh gets into a situation, and it can be quick, and we're not ready for it. But if we're diligently reading the Bible, if we're praying, then the Holy Spirit will direct us. If we've prayed for this issue ahead of time, God will direct us. Let's go back to Psalm 119 and let's pray over verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my head toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your law is good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. And probably the most difficult thing to talk about when it comes to temptation for me right now is the issue of honesty in prayer. We always need to be honest when we pray to God. Tim read from Psalm 139 3 weeks ago about God knowing when we wake and when we sleep, knowing every word that comes from our mouth before we say it. When it comes to temptation especially, it's important that we be honest when we pray to God. It is possible to be dishonest when we pray, you know. We can make a request to God with our mouths without really wanting the thing we're asking for. Have you ever prayed about a temptation and then proceeded to do the very thing you prayed about? I have. And sometimes it happens in a quick moment where you don't have a chance to think. Other times it's meditated ahead of time. At times like these, I sometimes feel after the fact, maybe I wasn't being honest with God when I was praying. Maybe I had already made up my mind about what would happen, about what I would do. Maybe I resigned myself to that outcome. Was the prayer a way of fooling myself? Of saying, well, I gave it my best effort, I prayed about it. We can't let ourselves get caught up in that kind of game because God knows everything in our hearts. He knows our motives. And let this be a comfort to us too, not just a warning. God knows all our motives. He still wants to hear our voice in prayer. He still wants us to ask him for what he already knows we need. So I want to read to you from Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. I believe that's also on page 840 in your church Bibles. Pastor Tim read us from Psalm 139, talking about how God knowing all about us. And Hebrews 4, 12 through 15, 13, 12 and 13, say something similar. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden in God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So if what I'm talking about with dishonesty in prayer is resonating with you at all, the good news is dishonesty in prayer is a trap we fall into just like any other temptation. And if you recognize it, you can pray about it. You might say something like, Lord, I have not been forthright about such and such an issue. Now I want to own up to that, but I don't know what to do about it. Please help me. Right? When we're dishonest in prayer, those are kind of the difficult issues. So praying about asking God and telling God that you want to come clean is a good first step. But now you're going to have to work out the real issue rather than ignoring it. So if you're dealing with habitual sin, I have a piece of practical advice for you. And really, this is advice we should all take, regardless of what we're going through in our lives. The Lord's Prayer includes a petition for help in temptation, and we should be praying about temptation before we're tempted. Before we're in those situations, we should be praying. We should be asking God, what are our weaknesses? Where are situations where we would do something contrary to your will, God? And we should ask God, lead us not into temptation. It means, please spare us from those situations where we would sin against you. Please arrange my life to protect me from those places. And if I fall into one of those places where my weakness is targeted, please give me strength. Psalm 19, and this isn't on the screen. Let me find the verse. Psalm 19, starting in verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And the good news is, the words of our mouth in prayer are pleasing to God, our rock and our redeemer. We are invited to pray because through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to God the Father, and he wants us to pray. He wants to bless our lives. He wants to make us more like his son. Well, through all this talk of sin and temptation, we do really have some things to be thankful for. The presence of this verse in the Lord's Prayer tells us is an invitation to pray to God for these things. And why would God invite us to pray about a thing unless he was willing to answer that prayer? So in our struggles for life, through life, we can go to the throne boldly in Jesus' name. We can ask him to help us in our temptations, to take our... He's already forgiven us of our guilt. We ask him to uphold us, to lift us up, to help us be like our Lord Jesus Christ, to be more like him, our champion. Secondly, I want to read you a little bit from Psalm 40. This is let me turn to Psalm 40. Let's pray over Psalm 40, starting in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, to set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.